From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. At the edge of the Earth is a giant sheet of ice called the Thwaites Glacier, and it's in trouble.
There are studies that suggest that the collapse of Thwaites is inevitable.
Carolyn Beeler, reporter for The World and my former WHYY colleague, is one of the few humans to have visited Thwaites. She went in February, along with a team of scientists, to see up close how parts of the glacier are melting and how fast. Why is the Thwaites Glacier melting? When might it collapse? And why could a glacier thousands of miles away impact us here? Today on The Why, Thwaiting Game. Carolyn, just tell me about the glacier. What was it like?
Yeah, so this is a Florida-sized piece of ice that starts in the interior, the continent of Antarctica, and then extends out into the sea and juts out into the sea in what's called an ice shelf. This is a huge piece of ice, and very few people have ever been there. No one had ever sailed across the front of the glacier until the ship I was on in February did just that. So it took us about a month, actually, to get there. And when we arrived at the face of this glacier, it was about 4 a.m, so it was still dark out and it was snowy.
The beam of the spotlight on top of the ship is lighting up a column of swirling snow.
And it was this wall of ice, 6 or 7 stories tall, that was just sort of looming to our left, and we were really close to it, like 100 meters away or so.
Didn't expect we'd get so close to it. It's huge.
And when I was up there, this oceanographer who was working the night shift called Peter Sheehan, he joined me up there. And we were talking to each other and we sort of found ourselves whispering.
I'm whispering and I don't know why.
It's like standing in a cathedral where you feel the hush of reverence.
Getting to this glacier was just this sacred feeling moment.
You can Google image everything these days, but there's something different about seeing it in person. Nobody whispers in front of Google Images.
So eventually when the sun rose, more people started trickling up to the bridge, and it turned into this sort of like party. Because we were the first people to have ever been there before. And so people were, you know, standing out on the catwalk in front of the bridge, looking at this wall of ice go by and just talking about all the science these scientists were eager to be doing.
The sonars are doing good stuff right now.
But as the day progressed, people who'd seen these ice shelves before started saying, this is not what this is supposed to look like. The top started to be wavy. It would overhang over the water like a roof with snow hanging off of the eaves. And it sloped down into the sea, sort of like a sand dune or sledding hill instead of a sheer cliff.
It's curving down, gradually rolling off. The actual cliffs are not very high at all.
And Rob Larder, the chief scientist on the ship from the British Antarctic Survey, has been down to Antarctica more than 20 times, and this was not something he'd ever seen in an ice shelf before.
Usually they just have a very gentle dip, so they're almost billiard table flat on the surface and then end abruptly in cliffs. And so there's some processes happening here that are rapidly thinning the ice shelf towards its edge, towards its front.
So you're literally seeing this glacier, you're seeing signs of melting in this glacier. What would happen if the glacier melted?
So this is a Florida-sized piece of ice, or Great Britain, depending on your point of reference. And if it were all to melt and collapse, it would raise global sea levels by around 2 feet. But that's actually not the scariest part, because it's sort of the linchpin of the West Antarctic ice sheet. And so if it were to collapse, it would leave this giant unstable cliff far into the interior of West Antarctica, destabilize much of the rest of that ice sheet, and could eventually lead to something like 11 feet of sea level rise, which is a really serious number when you're thinking about, coastal cities all over the world.
Carolyn, what would 11 feet of sea level rise look like?
So if you remember the images of Sandy, Lower Manhattan would look something like it did after Sandy with 11 feet of sea level rise. That would be the new baseline sea level. Now, of course, that's if New York City did nothing to protect itself, which it wouldn't. But inevitably, some places won't be able to protect themselves from that amount of sea level rise.
Is the glacier melting because of climate change?
This is a more complicated question than you might think, because right now what's happening is there's this mass of water that originates up in the North Atlantic and then is pushed by currents down toward Antarctica and the Southern Ocean. And this slightly warmer water has always existed, but it's now being pushed up onto the continental shelf.
So the warm water gets under the ice shelf and melts the ice shelf. And because the ice shelf is thinning, this is putting less of a brake on the flow of the glacier, so it starts flowing faster and delivering more ice to the ocean.
And that's what scientists think is melting them. Some scientists believe that these wind changes that are starting to push this water up toward Antarctica are linked to climate change, but there just hasn't been data collected in the region for long enough to actually, you know, point to climate change. So that's what's happening right now. But if we're talking about the future and these 11 feet of sea level rise kind of numbers, that is going to be fed by atmospheric warming that we're going to experience going forward. So right now, it's sort of a question whether it's a climate change issue or not. But overall, when we're really going to be worried about the contribution of this region to sea level rise, it's definitely a climate change question.
As you mentioned, this was the first crew of people to ever sail to this part of the Thwaites Glacier. What are scientists doing with the information that they gathered there?
This is the first field work in a big five-year research push to study Thwaites. And on our cruise, scientists were looking at this warm water, this circumpolar deep water. They attached sensors to seals so that they can track this warm water throughout the winter.
Sensors to seals?
Yeah. So I got to go onto these islands when this scientist, Lars Bouma, caught seals, elephant seals and Weddell seals, and like glued these transponders to the backs of their heads. And for the next year, those seals will act as data collectors as they swim around. They'll track temperature and salinity in the water as they dive, and then it'll get transmitted when they resurface. So already Lars can see, you know, where this warm water is circulating because of these seals.
Are they gonna have those things on their heads forever for the rest of their lives?
No, they come off when they molt. So they'll be when they lose their fur after the winter. So they'll be on for about a year and then they'll drop off.
Okay, good. do we have any idea how fast the glacier is melting?
Scientists don't have a great idea so far. Some studies suggest that Thwaites could go completely in 200 years. Other people say it might be less than 100. And Rob Larder told me that...
I don't think everybody is convinced that it is necessarily inevitable at the moment.
Are you convinced that it's inevitable?
I'm keeping an open mind. I hope it's not as bad as some of us fear it is, because I've got teenage children and I'd like them to live in a world where it's not a disaster scenario.
So we wanted to understand what this could mean locally. So I also have State Impact Pennsylvania reporter Susan Phillips with me in the studio. Susan, what areas in Philadelphia would be impacted by this sea level rise?
Yeah, and just to back up a little bit, when Carolyn talked about 2 feet, that the glacier would result in 2 feet of sea level rise, what she's talking about is beyond what we're already thinking about and planning for. Mm. So if you look at Philadelphia itself, a good rule of thumb is to think about the areas east of I-95, also down by the airport. Eastwick, of course, has already experienced a lot of flooding because it's basically built on a wetland.
This area of southwest Philadelphia.
That's in southwest Philadelphia, right, near the airport.
Is the airport trying to do anything about the possibility of sea level rise impacting their operations?
Absolutely.
If we got hit by that, there would be an event where we could have flooding of some of our taxiways or runways. We could have problems with some of our infrastructure.
I talked to Ray Scheinfeld about that, and he's in charge of planning for sea level rise issues at the airport.
This area got a significant amount of water, and if it went down into these areas...
And one of the things he showed me was these metal grates that they'll put in place if they're anticipating a big storm and possible storm surge that will protect the electrical substations. Because if you lose a substation, you're basically lost the airport.
So that's the areas along the Delaware River. What about farther away, like out at the Jersey coast along in Delaware, things like that?
Yeah, the Jersey coast, wow. You know, we would be able to see the Barrier Reef Islands maybe on low tide in that situation.
And I can speak a little bit about Delaware from my reporting back when I was at WHYY. I went out to meet a farmer who was farming near the coast in Delaware. I saw the soil where there had been saltwater intrusion on his fields and where his crops were killed because it was too salty. So we're already seeing impacts of flooding that are killing crops in places like Delaware and making previously arable land unfit for farming. So this is something that's already happening.
Exactly. And people are already on the Jersey coast opting to put their houses on stilts, raising their houses rather than move.
So that's some things that individuals are doing. Are we doing anything on a more systemic, wider scale level to mitigate these issues?
Well, it's really up to these local governments to figure this out, and each one is different, right? Because we don't have a plan from the federal government. The federal government does provide some kind of funds where if a state or a local county can convince people living there to move, they can buy those groups of houses, and what they want to do is turn them into wetlands. I think they're trying to do that in Pleasantville on the other side of Atlantic City down the shore, but... You know, it really means that everybody's going to have to agree to move.
So the plan is just abandon some areas.
Absolutely have to be abandoned. Yeah. I mean, like the Jersey coast and, you know, Back Bay communities eventually, and also, you know, down along the Delaware River in South Jersey.
Carolyn, could the research on the Thwaites Glacier have an impact on preparation for sea level rise here or around the world?
So I think it should, and that is the point. That is the main goal of this big research project, which is not always the case, right? When scientists go out to do big research, they're not thinking, how can we help policymakers plan? But that's the point of this research. So they're involving both scientists who are researching on the ground and modelers who will take the data that these scientists give them and come up with better sea level rise projections going forward. And the whole idea is to be able to make better recommendations about how cities and coastal communities should plan.
Carolyn, thanks for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me, Shai.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San. Tweet me at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.